Thanks for joining us. This is Pantau Kerajaan Baru, or the monitoring of the new government, a new segment inside Notepad. My name is Ibrahim Sani. We're going to be exploring some of the ideas when it comes to what's going to happen this week. The most important thing here, of course, is trying to discover or unearth the new cabinet lineup, which the 10th Prime Minister, Dato' Sri Anwar Ibrahim, has said that he needed time to build. And of course, it's not just about who the personalities are, it's about the size of the cabinet, the whole transparency of it, should the court cluster be part of it, and many more. And joining us on the line is a good friend of Astro Awani, Dato' Sri Akbar Sata. He is, of course, the president of the Association of Certified Fraud Examiners of Malaysia, and of course, a keen political commentator. Dato' Sri, thanks for taking the time to speak with us. I want to learn more about what you think of the new government formation, and what would be some of the expectations that you have when it comes to the cabinet lineup, and some of the key observations that you think they must exhibit.
Yeah, well, I'm sure integrity is very important. All of us are expecting integrity issue among the politician, especially the cabinet ministers. So we are hoping that, you know, because corruption is rampant in this country, so therefore I can assure you that the public are happy with the new government, because among the manifesto which include to curb corruption in this country. So I think this is a very good move, because corruption is the mother of all evils.
Okay, let's talk about some of the data that was published by the Department of Statistics Malaysia yesterday, actually, on crime statistics. One of the key highlights that I find quite interesting is corruption. Corruption in 2021 saw 400 cases. This is in relative to the thousands, multiple thousands, tens of thousands of other types of crimes, like samun or mugging, breaking ins, theft, stealing of cars. Those are, you know, hundreds of thousands. I'm not saying that we should be proud of the statistics of crime, but generally speaking, do you feel that corruption is still underreported thus far, and you feel that this needs to be looked into quite considerably moving forward under this new administration?
Yeah, I agree, it is underreported, but we should be happy with MACC, because they are doing good job. And if you look at the statistics provided by MACC, right, from 2015 to 2021, right, out of 8,000 those arrested, 53% were the youth, you know, between the age of 29 to 39. So this is very, scary, you know, because we thought our generation is already finished, right? Corrupted. We have to accept that. But it seems that the youth who is taking care of our country are also involved in corruption. So I think we have to, you know, target on this group to make sure that, you know, one day at least our anak cucu, you know, will be okay. And of course, corruption will be professionally. I think this is very important.
We also need to understand a little bit more about what you think is the political landscape looking like. We know that the debate between or the discourse online on social media is actually quite heated now. And we're looking at some of the developments that is currently happening. May stoke racial tensions. Do you feel that this needs to be addressed as well currently?
I think it's okay. Right? Among public, we are okay. The problem is politicians. Politicians were the one who, you know, who split us. So they are using Russia in their campaign and so on. This is very bad, right? But among us, we are okay, right? In my taman also, we are okay. We are friendly with each other, and our children, you know, can go along. You go to coffee shop, coffee house, you can see all, you know, all races are there. You know, we are very friendly and also live happily. So this is very important for politicians not to, you know, break us up, because this will affect the country, you know, country's image, and also. I think the politicians have to make sure that, you know, during campaign, use some something that, you know, which is very important for a country. You know, at least you have to show us what you can do for a country. What can you do, you know, to rectify the weaknesses, you know, corruption, the economic problem, and the political stability instead of creating more problems.
Okay, Datuk, we need to look into some of your wish list into how you think this government needs to progress. What would be the two or three things that you think the government must do? I know corruption, tackling corruption is there, but you know, what are the steps needed, concrete steps that you perhaps would look into in addressing these kind of issues?
You know, there are three factors. One is strong, sincere political will. So we need a prime minister, you know, who has strong political will. But I'm happy that prime minister, in his first speech to the media, right, he still wanted to make sure that corruption is to be, you know, to prevent corruption in this country, because it was quite. I mean, prior to this, not even one prime minister was talking about corruption, but Anwar Ibrahim, Datuk Seri Anwar Ibrahim is good on this, since he mentioned about this corruption, to curb corruption. And number two, of course, the effectiveness of the law enforcement is no political interference. No? Let them investigate independently, and also the AG, right? Let them do their work. So this is very important for the image of the country. Last but not least, Ibrahim, is the strong support from the public. Make sure that we support the government, we support law enforcement agency, and the public and also the private sector should not get involved in corruption, because they are main giver, especially the big companies and so on. So this is very bad. So, and also the public, make sure that you don't give, because the government servant and politicians are our servant. They are working for us. We pay them. We pay through our taxes. So this is a very important point, to make sure that we are not, we ourselves, right, are not involved in corruption. We have to reduce corruption in this country.
Developing these ideas even more, based on some of your work that you've done for the past few decades, actually, from Transparency International and many more before that, and now in your current role, do you feel that the example, or lead by example, is actually quite crucial? If the Prime Minister clamps down from his level, everything else will follow right now. So do you feel that the Prime Minister must exhibit the highest order in terms of integrity, anti-corruption fight, and many more?
Yeah, this is true. According to fraud theory, right, there are three factors. Opportunity, of course, the other one will be pressure, but the most important point will be rationalization. It is, in criminology, it is called as technique of neutralization. So meaning to say that whatever you do as a leader, people will follow you. You have to show good example. If you get involved in corruption, therefore your minister, your deputy prime minister and so on will be following you. And also it will go down to KSU, your supervisor and so on. So as a prime minister, you must not only be white, but also you must be whiter than white. You must not only be clean, but seem to be clean. So this is very important. But you can see, like, a few of the indication shown by our prime minister that, you know, he has rejected the new cars and also, you know, changing carpet. That is a very good example. You know, it's quite difficult to find people. I hope he will continue to do this, but try not to get, you know, to prevent from, you know, getting influenced by unethical people. So normally, these unethical followers are the one who really, you know, either brought you up or down. So this is very important. But your main aim is to make sure that you take care of the country. Make sure that, you know, the money is not, especially in contract, it must be value for money, you know. So this is important, because in contract, as I mentioned earlier, right? So according to the World Bank, contract alone, we are losing between 20-30%, you know, because of corruption, and study by I think a statement given by the former Auditor General Tan Sri Amri Buang also stated that our country, Malaysia, also we lost about 30% of leakage and fraud in procurement. to this bank. An investigation conducted by MBCC, right? About 50, 45, 50%. All the work were concentrated on the on the procurement procurement, and also the cases also involve senior government officer, right? So this is very important for us to make sure that leakage not happen in procurement, because the budget for procurement is huge. And of course, there are so many unethical unethical politician, and also corrupt government official taking opportunity, you know, to
manipulate the system. That's right. Okay, Dato' Sri, we're going for a short break. When we come back, we'll discuss a little bit more on the issue of integrity and a government battling corruption. We'll be right back after these messages. Thanks for staying on with us. I have with me on the line Datuk Sri Akbar Sata. He is, of course, a keen figure in terms of battling corruption. Datuk Sri, I need to ask you about the realities of things right now. It's not easy trying to form this government. As we all saw, the Malaysian political system went through a turbulent period last week. Now we have a government and we have a prime minister, but we have yet to have a cabinet. Do you feel that it's quite tricky trying to balance the kind of different interests? We have PKR, we have PH, we have DAP and many more, Amanah. And then, of course, the PH group has to deal with BN and has to deal with Warisan, GPS, GRS. It's trying to find the right mix of integrity, ministers with integrity, but at the same time trying to appease the kind of personalities that is expected to get positions. How do you think this government needs to manage realities of the political environment with the need or the balance to fight corruption and to maintain strong integrity?
I think I'm sure the Prime Minister, right, will be very concerned with corruption. But of course, with this coalition government, it's quite difficult, right? Because he has to, you know, to be fair, right? Especially in the appointment of the minister. But to me, I think the best way is to make sure that we have ministers with high integrity, right? And this is very important, because our image will be tarnished if you appoint any ministers or deputy ministers who has been corruption cases and so on. But anyway, if he has no choice, but of course, being Prime Minister, I hope that he will make sure that he will monitor, right, all these ministers, especially those are involved, have been involved in corrupt practices, so that it will not happen again, because we have to remember that in fact all the former Director General the KP of MBCC, right? I think three of them were telling that corruption is rampant, and some of them were saying that it is very critical. So it is very important for the Prime Minister to make sure that, you know, he has to monitor and advise all the minister, right, not to get involved, but work for the country, not for self-interest, but make sure that, because you know, we have so much problem. And also, as a Prime Minister, I'm sure he is concerned with political stability, because to me, corruption is the main, is the evil of all, is the mother of all evil, sorry. So yeah. The stability of government is because unstable government because of corruption, the unstable of the economy is because of the corruption, and social problem also, right? So this is very important. So, but there is a pro contra here, whether you have to appoint somebody, you know, who who has no court cases and so on. But with this coalition government, there are pro and contra. I'm not sure, but this we leave to the Prime Minister, right? For the best solution to make sure that the country is respected, because right now you can see that a lot of or many countries, you know, have are happy with this new leadership, and I'm sure with him, with his contact, we are on the right track.
Okay, it's not just about the Prime Minister, it's not just about one man, it's all about the system as well. And we have to ensure that the system needs to be in place in order for these corruption to be arrested, I suppose, or to be curbed and to deter. Some of the items that you mentioned include structural reforms, say for instance, the split between the AG and the public prosecutor role, or the MACC and whether or not they should decouple from being under the Prime Minister Department and move into the Parliament. Many of these reforms need a lot of work, need a lot of support and need a lot of approval and debate in the Parliament. Do you feel that the corruption aside, we know that that's bad, but structurally speaking, the importance for us to do these kind of reforms is here and now, and perhaps what would be some of your ideas in trying to see challenges from this reform being done?
Yeah, this is, I agree, for short term, right? Especially we must have, or long term, we must have two AG. One, of course, AG is the advisor for the government, right? And number two, the public prosecutor. So meaning to say that, you know, he will not be in the cabinet, right? It's quite awkward, right? Being an AG, but you are in the cabinet. So what will happen if a minister has been charged?
Or the Prime Minister himself, like we've had with Dato' Sri Najib.
Correct, correct. So it's quite difficult, right? So therefore, Sintis and MACC, right? Please do not disturb them if possible, right? You know, sometimes you have power, but you have no money, so no point. So money should be given enough for them, you know, to make sure that, you know, they can curb corruption professionally. But the most important point here, Ibrahim, is that, you know, sometimes you import the best system from Harvard or the best internal control from Oxford. But if the handler, the people, the minister, the politician, the government servant have no integrity, no point. So integrity is very. Sometimes we only need a simple software from UNITA or from UITM or from TA College. But we must make sure that the handler have integrity. Therefore, I think we have to reduce the integrity crisis, you know, in order to make sure that to curb corruption, I think we have to look into the integrity crisis, which I believe that is rampant in this country, not only from the public, but also from the top, you know, management and also the politician. So this we have to accept, right? Because this from back to worse, you can see CPI, right? We have dropped, right, from 51 to 62, right, which is very bad, you know.
In order to get 1 year, save,
yeah, to, in order to save, yeah, in order to save 1 point, you know, you have to spend a few million, you know. But we just drop just like that, you know. So it's a pity, but I can assure you, right? Of course, for the CPI next year, of course, because it is too late, because CPI is based on secondary sources, right? All they have been gathered the reports. So
and
I'm sure
data and past performance is not real time.
Correct. But I think in 2023, if the government performed well. And of course, the minister are okay. Corruption has been reduced, and all of us are okay. Political stability and so on, democracy, all are included in CPI. You know, to determine CPI. Therefore, I think in 2023 we can see some light there. You know, I'm sure we can improve. But make sure that the Prime Minister, he has to show good example. He must be not only clean but seen to be clean.
Dato' Sri, some amongst us in the society do not see corruption as a big problem, and some within this kind of worldview have indeed voted their representative who do not see corruption as the main priority, or at least not the top three priorities, for instance. Cost of living, for instance, is the most important thing. Religious stability is another, say, for instance. So many other factors that they are considering, but corruption isn't one of them. Do you fear for our country when people themselves do not really mind corruption to happen amongst ourselves in our society?
Yeah, I agree with you. I was quite skeptical when a survey showed that the priority needed by the people were number one, stability in the economy, correct? And number two, cost of living. That means economy is 44%, standard of living, cost of living is 40%, and corruption is only 8%, you know? But this is very sad because we have to remember that corruption is the mother of all evil. Corruption is related to economic problem and also social problem, political problem. So you solve corruption, therefore, I think you solve the problem. What is the problem of our country now? What are we fighting for? Majority of the politicians are fighting for what? Making money to get rich, to live beyond mean. This is the main problem in our country. So therefore, I think we have to make sure that corruption is the main issue that we have to prioritize. That's why you can see that the Prime Minister is smart, right? Because he in fact, as I stated earlier, that he's very concerned with corruption because corruption is, again, the mother of all evils.
In earlier this week, Datuk Seri Anwar Ibrahim, our Prime Minister, has has made a call for the incoming ministers to work hand in hand with public servants. He has also made another call for public servants to work with their political masters, their ministers, because one cannot exist without the other. And essentially, all the hard work is going to be done by the civil servants. This wasn't seen in the previous Pakatan Harapan government, the 22 months under Tun Mahathir. Do you feel that because of the call that has been made 2-3 days ago by the Prime Minister, there are some bright sparks in terms of seeing good things being done in the months or even years to come?
Yeah, I agree, right? Because, 20, 30 years ago, right? You know, when you were PTD officer, right? Of course, the politician normally respected them. But now you can see it is a reverse, right? Because politicians are making use of them. And they are so scared, you know, to sometimes not to follow instructions. Sometimes instructions that are going against the law. You know, sometimes you are KSU in the ministry when you have been instructed by, you know, Wahyu, right? Instruction without any written instruction. That will be dangerous, right? But sometimes you have no choice. If you go against them, then your future will be at stake, you know. So this is the main problem. So I think it is high time for politicians not to intervene because all policies, most of them are done by our government officials. They are good. They are professional. So do not disturb them. You know, long time ago, you know, normally if I'm from Kelantan, I was PTD officer. It's quite, if based on merit, meritocracy, therefore, if I'm good, I can easily become, you know, the SS for Selangor or Pahang and so on, right? But right now, I think the highly likely, like, you know, normally the MB and the Chief Minister will choose their own man. So this is very dangerous because choosing your own man, you know, sometimes the officer are scared of you and also maybe follow your instruction, even though it's going against the regulation. But the most important point here will be, Ibrahim, is that God-fearing, you know, God-fearing rather than MACC-fearing. But on the other hand, there are some those who claim to be God-fearing, but they themselves enrich themselves via corruption and misuse of power. So this is very bad. But sometimes some politicians, they are corrupted, some not. But they are still giving lecture and asking us not to get corrupt, not to be corrupted. But this is, unaccepted because you yourself as a politician, I mean, you have to show example, make sure that, you know, you join politics not to become rich, but to work for the country, because now we are facing debt, we got problem in economy, political stability. So your function is to work together, and also in parliament, make sure that, you know, when you debate, make sure that you debate with ideas, you know, not quarreling with each other, you know, making mockery of the system. So because you have been, people are looking at you, the youngsters are looking at you. So I think this is very important for us to show example. And also, if a good policy introduced by the opposition, we have to accept, right? And also by the government, you have to accept, but not, you know, using for your own self-interest. Therefore, you simply, you know, do not agree or criticize without any what you call criticism, positive criticism. I think it is a bad. I think high time for us, you know, to make sure that. What you call being ahli yang berhormat, being ahli parliament, make sure that you talk with ideas. You know, we want good policy, we want good idea and so on, such as our, you know, neighbor country. You know, you can see that they have a different kind of environment in parliament. So I hope this year or next year we have a better and clearer and more what you call good environment in parliament, just for the betterment of the country and generation.
Thank you very much, Datuk Seri Akbar Sata, who shared very much some of the issues, not just pertinent to Malaysia, but it seems, and it's very evident here, Datuk, that you speak from the heart as well. We want a better Malaysia. We have hope that this government is going to do well, and we're all standing behind, not just the government, but of course the public service that is supporting the government right now. That was Datuk Seri Akbar Sata, the President of the Association of Fraud, Certified Fraud Examiners in Malaysia. If you missed any part of this interview, just head on to astro1.com, look for Pantau Kerajaan Baru or the Monitoring of the New Government, or look for Notepad. My name is Ibrahim Sani. Catch you in the next one. Continue to stay with us on Astro Awani, the channel, the most trusted news channel in the country.